Turn up the radio and sing along. It's time for another great song. This is the Great Song Podcast.
Season's greetings and welcome once again to the Great Song Podcast. I'm Rob Alley.
I am JP Mosier.
And we're here to celebrate the greatest songs in modern music history. We're going to tell you what makes them great, why we think they're awesome, and why you should too. JP, how you doing today, man?
I am doing fantastic. And guys, we're back. Your three favorite musketeers.
Come on.
We got Rob, JP, and David McKee Barr.
Let's go.
There he is. Let's be honest. We're more like the Three Amigos than the Three Musketeers. Have y'all seen the Three Amigos?
Yeah,
with
sure.
Steve Martin, Chevy
Have
Chase.
Have I seen it?
And Martin Short. Okay. I never realized there's two Martins in there.
I misremember my real life events with moments from the movie because that's how integral to my childhood.
Okay, cool. We're going to write
down. I still call my dad El Guapo.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Okay, let's. We do takes when we're with Dave.
Okay, yeah, true.
Dave, do you want to go first? Do you want to go second? You want to go third? We'll let you pick. Rob, you can close it.
I'll go first because you guys probably have some smart way to pull it all together. No. I just noticed the other day that if you listen to Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard, the cadence of the verses is one of the most pleasant ear satisfying cadences. Now that's the trick. No, it's not the melody.
Okay.
But just
And
knowing Mutt Lang, you know that took hours for them.
Yeah.
He was like, no, it's gotta feel more. We could have had a Mutt Lang tie-in.
That's true.
Yeah, look at this.
That's good.
But it came on when I was in Target the other day and I was like sitting there and he was like, everything okay? I was like, shh, give me a minute. I was like, no, that is amazing. Like listening to it.
That's great.
It's really cool. The way they pocket it is really cool.
Man, yeah, that's great. It's almost got that same, it's almost like a slowed down version of like early 80s rap.
Yes.
It's got that same sort of Sugar Hill.
Kind of cheerleader-y.
Yeah.
In the Target speakers, it's not like you can really be critical of the mix, so you're going to hear cadence. So that makes sense.
That's the sibilance.
That's good. I love it. Okay, my take, stupid. The stupidest take I've ever done, but here we go. I love it. 1989 was the best TV pilot series starts. So, and I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to tie it in musically.
Okay.
Wow. So here's what started in pilots in 89.
Okay.
Saved by the Bell, Seinfeld, Family Matters,
Jeez.
Simpsons, Coach, Doogie Howser, Hey Dude, just throw that in there, Cops, Major Dad. Okay, so there's...
Major Dad.
I don't know, whatever.
Okay.
But the best opening song and music isn't in any of those. This is just for... This is the dumbest thing ever. Toss me that.
Right.
It is the McGee and Me soundtrack.
Oh my gosh.
Y'all late 80s, early 90s Christian kids. Do you know what McGee and Me is?
Oh, do I know
what McGee dude. Is. Let's hear a little of the McGee and Me opening because I have this guy that does this music. This is good. This is the stupidest thing ever. But
I don't get enough McGee and Me references in my life.
That's right. I heard this the other day.
Somebody just heard that and just had like a it's listening right now and had like an emotional reaction.
Yep,
that didn't know why.
That's right.
Like they triggered some trauma.
Yep.
Dude, I'm just gonna jump ahead because it's like 3 minutes. We don't
not
need
to be confused with Mac and Me.
Yes.
Oh, which is different.
Mac and Me.
What is Mac and Me?
It's with a little
puppet.
Alien and a kid like falls off a cliff or something.
But this is McGee and Me?
This is McGee and Me.
Really?
It'll come. Wait for it when the hook hits. This is still just intro. Oh man, it's so long. Sorry everybody. But anyway, there's songs all the way through this that are so good. Anyway, I could go through the list of songs, but that's for another day. And I was gonna do a Stump the Genius. Is this an 80s power ballad or is this a McGee and Me song?
Wow.
Oh, there it is.
Dude, love it. That's it right there. So that is my take. I love this. This brings back all the feels. 89. Guitar solo.
Oh.
Anyway.
I was going to say, that's a nice little moment.
So there's tasty stuff like this all the way through. Anyway.
Let's just cover that song instead.
Have y'all ever heard the Pokemon theme song?
No.
Yeah.
It is crazy musical.
Yes. Is it good?
My kids are like way into Pokemon right now. Yeah. And it came on the other day and I like leaned my head around. I was like, play that again? I was like, whoa, there's like all these pseudo key changes. And it's really cool.
All right. So interestingly enough, I also have a McGee and Me hot take.
No. I'm just kidding. Oh my gosh.
Okay. No, but I am going to play something floored me the other day. I was playing at a wedding and just listening through, I was playing guitar and practicing some music. And, listening to one of the tracks was The Way You Make Me Feel by Michael Jackson, a song we all know, we all love. And I noticed something I've never noticed before, and I think it bears out in the left side, for sure on like the second verse. I'm going to play it for you, okay? Listen, and I'm just going to say two words, and you see if you agree with me, okay? Okay. Left side. Yeah. Okay, listen. Jaw harp.
Heard that before.
Is that wild?
Who invited Cousin Earl to play? Wow.
Or a didgeridoo.
Yeah, yes, it's definitely, but it's
gosh. Bam, bam,
bam, going. Dude, that's amazing.
What in the world?
That's good.
Who? Why? Why?
That's awesome. That's so cool. That's like, fine. That's fine to the day.
Right Quincy there. Jones was like, you know,
Michael, let me make a call. There's one more thing we're missing.
That's right.
There's a certain bounce that I'm missing.
But I want the whole band in the room, like just to watch, like just to feel the vibe.
Yo, now here you want to get it on that bot.
Here's what I got to know. I've got to find the album credits and see who's listed as like additional percussion or something.
Yeah.
Because that means they
put. You know what it sounds like to me, real talk? It sounds like a keyboard they put through an envelope filter. That they're just going.
You think? Oh, and just check in.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Could be.
That's not as fun. That's not as fun. No.
In my brain, forever, it's always going to be a jaw harp.
That's great.
Even if that's.
It would be. You would have. It would be like the biggest hack ever if you dug deep enough and found in the credits that nobody has ever talked about. Like some guys playing.
There's some guy they've exiled. That's like he's like I play jaw harp. And they're like get him out of here. Like
silence.
Done.
Him.
Done.
Yeah, you signed
an NDA about this.
NDA about this.
That's great. That's great.
All right. Good. There we go.
That's awesome. That's well done. Okay, now let's talk about the song that we're really here to talk about.
Wow, we haven't even gotten into it yet. Okay. This is one of those all-time just makes you feel so good songs. Perfect song for the three of us to do together. And it's going to lead to some really fun conversations. So let's dig in from the 1993 Three Musketeers emotional original motion picture soundtrack. This is All for Love by Bryan Adams, Rod Stewart, and Sting. When it's love you give, I'll be your man of good faith. And in love you live, I'll make a stand, I won't break. I'll be the rock you can build on. Ugh. Love inside. I swear I'll always be strong. Then there's a reason why. I'll prove to you we belong. I'll be the world that protects you.
Yeah.
From the wind and the rain. From the hurt and the pain. Yeah. Hey. Let's make it. All right, there's so much to talk about this. Where are we going to start? From the 1993 Three Musketeers original motion picture soundtrack, that is All for Love by Bryan Adams, Rod Stewart, and Sting, written by Bryan Adams, Michael Kamen, and Robert John Mutt Lang. We talked recently, well, not too recently now, I guess, about Mutt Lang and his production credits. We talked about him before with Bryan Adams for the Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves soundtrack. all that stuff. We're going to get into a little Michael Kamen today. I know, Dave, you've done a Michael Kamen deep dive recently, so I know you're on some Michael Kamen stuff. I can't wait to hear it. It's almost easier to list where this song didn't go number one
as to
where it did. It was number one in the U.S., Australia, Austria, Canada, Denmark, the Europe Euro chart, which I've literally never seen on anything before, Finland, Germany, Ireland, Italy, Norway, Poland, Sweden, and Switzerland.
Good night.
It was number two in the UK.
No.
Number two in the UK.
What was number one?
I'm going to play you the song.
It's Jaw Harp Guy.
That kept this from going number one. It is called Things Can Only Get Better by, I think it's, I don't know if it's Dream, it's D:REAM, all caps. So I assume it's Dream or D-Ream, surely not. But do you know this song?
No.
Me neither.
I'm thinking of dun, 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 dun.
This is
not that, right?
This, no.
Yeah. Things can only get better.
This is Things Can Only Get Better by Dream.
You can walk my path.
You can what? Walk my path?
You can wipe my what now?
Learn to talk like me and be an angel too.
Is that Brett Michaels lead vocal?
Oh my gosh.
You ain't never gonna feel this.
It's called Something to Believe In.
You ain't never gonna know me.
This.
But I know you. I'm singing in our things.
Just wait for it.
Only get better. Only get better.
I'm gonna say this again while we wait for the beat to drop. This song kept All for Love by Bryan Adams, Rod Stewart, and Sting from the top spot in the UK.
Can only get better.
And that's only going to get more disappointing as we go on.
Oh, no. I know it's about to happen.
You know, I know that things can only get better.
I knew that was about to happen. I knew that was about to happen.
Anyway.
What in the world?
You just hear really low and suck it, Sting. Suck it, Rod. Suck it, Brian.
So this song was number one in the UK for at least a month solid. I went back and looked at the charts for at least a solid month, keeping All for Love and Breathe Again by Toni Braxton from reaching number one. It was finally knocked off the top spot by Mariah Carey's Without You,
okay,
a.k.a. Ken Lee.
Ken Lee.
So.
Ken Lee.
Dibble doubt you. All for One, I'm sorry, All for Love, was number one in the U.S. for 3 weeks until it was knocked off by The Power of Love by Celine Dion. Okay. So,
At least those songs are known.
At least they belong in the same stratosphere.
Sorry, D-Ream. D-Ream. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know it either.
I'm just always shocked at these things by I essentially think of British people as my cousin, you know? And I assume that my cousins know the same songs that I do. Yeah. But it's just sometimes not true. Yeah. Like, there's just
one,
wild
two, it's
stuff
two-thirds
over there.
English. So you would think that they'd even be more behind that song.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
true. Sting and Rod Stewart,
and then
both from the UK.
Brian from Canada.
Who's, on the way to England for us.
I mean, they're, you know, they sing God Save the Queen in Canada, too. So, what's the deal?
Yeah, it's crazy.
But
that is so interesting.
Two. Behind that, it's not like, you know.
Can you imagine the radio, person who is working for Atlantic or whoever's like, hey, just checking in tonight. Want to bump? Make sure we're bumping it up to number one this week. They're like, believe it or not, Dream's going to be. They're like, I'm sorry. What's that? You're telling me Sting, Rod Stewart, and Bryan Adams can't beat out Dream? He still works at a video store.
Right.
Yeah, it's like we've got Superman, Batman, and Aquaman. Yeah. You know what I mean? And they're like, no, we got Plastic Man. It's cool. We got it. You know? We're good on Plastic Man.
Oh, my God.
I don't understand. That's wild. Let's see. I have just a few listening notes. I just want to say, first of all, the drums on this song are just one of my favorite things ever.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the tone, the playing, the everything about the drums is perfect. Even the reverb, every single bit of it was my favorite. The before the first chorus, from the hurt and the pain, yeah, hey, bum, but changed my life. The yeah and the hey is, boy, that's
good.
Yeah, hey, with the snare hit,
yeah,
that did it for me. I think that was when I came of age. I think that was when I was like,
that's when you became a man.
Yeah, that was that made me a man for sure. Let's see. The way that All for One starts with all three of them on the top
on the
note,
high note,
then yeah. two of them come down, waterfall. And then one and comes stays, down to the bottom note
yeah,
okay. with Sting. Yeah, Sting staying up top.
Staying there.
That is, that, come on, that gets my heart.
That had to be Mutt. It had to be Mutt.
Yeah.
So did you hear that Sting didn't even know Rod Stewart was going to be on the song?
No.
Yeah, it was when they put it together.
He thought it was a duet?
He thought it was a duet. He thought it was just him and Brian. And then they're like, oh, yeah, we got this other part, and it's going to be Rod Stewart. And he's like, what? Like, yeah, but
why?
Yeah.
They're kind of, you know, the thing about this song to me is I think you would be really hard-pressed to find three voices to me that are more like icon. It's like the greatest hits of white male singers.
Yeah.
I mean, leaving out maybe like a Michael Bolton or whatever, but especially around, it's like a color wheel. Like, this is not orange and blue. This is like all of the iterations of like red.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not. So if you had Michael Bolton, it's too much of a timbre change. Uh-huh. These three guys are literally a click off of
That's
each
good.
Other.
Yeah.
That's good.
And so it's so funny when they sing together because.
In the Crayola box, they're all in the same
they're
section.
They're all in the same
That's
section.
That's great. I love that. We and got so, magenta. Yes. We got freaking. Yeah. yeah.
Well, no blues.
Yeah. That's right.
It's no, like magenta, red, and then
sunrise
like.
Sunrise or whatever. Sun, yeah. yeah, whatever.
And so when they sing together, it fascinates me because I'm like, they really are all. Iterations of on a theme
that's great.
Or variations on a theme, but it's the same theme. It's like, but I think that's why it works. And to me, I don't know if there are three more sort of iconic voices that could have been together.
No, well, not at that moment.
Well, my favorite, and I've said this on the pod, so this isn't just for this episode, but my favorite vocal live performance I've ever seen, we'll just say present company excluded with Dave Barnes at the Ryman, but sure. was Bryan Adams in Knoxville at the Bijou. It was
oh my gosh.
It was him and a piano player, and it was the best vocal performance I've ever seen.
He's
number
incredible.
One.
Incredible.
Here's the other fun fact to me. This is one of my favorite things about this song, is these three guys are also, and I would add Phil Collins to this group. They are the four horsemen of the, I bet you didn't realize how high the keys are in that they sing.
No kidding.
Those good. Four guys are consistently, like any dude out there, try to sing along with this song. I think it's an E flat, D sharp, I think.
Yeah, I don't even
know. But it's way the heck up there. Yeah. Way the heck up there. And you start singing as a dude and you're like, oh. I mean, it is... In all of their songs, you like that. Phil Collins, to me, is kind of the goat of that. Like, you think, you're like, oh, because they all have that really tricky, raspy voice. Mm-hmm. You know, Bryan Adams, again.
Yeah.
They're all this way. Like, you hear them, you're like, oh, those guys smoke all the time. It's got to be baritones. And they are like tip-top tenors.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
And so it's crazy listening to it. You try singing along as a dude, and you're like,
Yeah, I mean, if this is an E flat, then that means
I think it's in D. I don't quite think it's
okay.
An
so
E-flat.
One of them, we're right there. Oh, it is in D. It is in D because I played along for a second.
I'm
at home.
Pretty sure.
So that means that top note, the first note of the chorus, is a B.
Is a B.
A B natural.
It's way.
And they're all hitting it.
Yep. All of them.
All three of them. No problem. No big deal.
And Bryan Adams is kind of a youngster, if you want to think about it. At the time, he's like the kid in this group in '93.
Yeah. I would say to me, in my opinion, he's. I think. Oh boy, this could start fights. I want to be careful here. Yeah. But I think he is the best singer of them.
Sure.
Like when I think of ability to sing, not tone, but just singing ability. He, to me, like if you listen to that Live Unplugged album.
Dude, I love that album.
He doesn't miss a landing.
That's so good.
I mean, it's incredible, his vocal control. So hearing you say that about him at the Bee Gees makes a lot of sense to me.
Because
he's
perfection.
Because, you know, Sting is great, but he's not, you're not listening to Sting for his vocal performances. You're listening for his, how he sings and what he's singing. But, but you know, he's not. In fact, one of my notes is one of the parts that's always meant. Would you go to 3?
I know exactly what you're going to say. It's the one weak link
it's
in this
the
song.
One weak link in the song. Yeah. It has always been the weakest link of the song. So if you start at like 3 minutes, just give me that. I love that you thought this too, Rob. It has always made me think, why didn't they let him do another take of this? So start at like 3 minutes. And if you listen at 3:11, this is Sting.
Well, that's Brian.
I love that you were thinking this too, Rob. That makes me so happy.
I have my notes.
This is how he sings in our hands. Right here.
In a home, Joe.
It is always, since I was a teenager and heard this song, before I knew anything about music, I was like, I just feel like maybe he wanted another go at that.
Yeah.
In a home.
It sounds like he's scared of it, doesn't it?
It's exactly, I mean, what it sounds like.
And it's weirdly kind of low in the mix.
Yeah.
It just sounds like I 100%.
I love agree. That you caught that. That is the only, you said it perfect. I couldn't say it better. It's always the part of the song. It's the weakest. Like, that song is a monster hit. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. In that moment, I'm always like, oh.
Yeah. It's like in the, you know, in The Hobbit, there's the dragon that's terrorizing the city. Mm-hmm. And the one place they can get it, there's a one open spot in the neck that you can hit where there's a scale that's like dinged up or
Sting's
something.
Vocal part, there's the open neck.
That's it. Yeah. It's the one like scale that's displaced that you could shoot an arrow into.
I love that you think that too.
Do you think he thinks I nailed that?
I don't know. I mean, that's what, like, I mean, they've got Mutt Lang behind the board.
Who is known, if anything is known about him, it's about his perfectionism.
Yeah.
That is the number one thing on his rap sheet.
So it's like, I wonder if it's a thing where like some tape got erased, you know, and they're like, oh, we were missing part of the bridge, but we're out of time, like out of time, out of budget.
Or he's like, I've got to leave at 3:15. Yeah, exactly. And they're like, it's 3:12 like, and we need him to do one more harmony. Yeah.
That's the weirdest. That's so funny. Yeah, I've always wondered, why I don't understand.
Yeah.
I got a thing on the band. You want to talk about who plays?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Hey, let's meet the band. It's time to meet the band. Hey, mama, let's meet the band. Let's all meet the band.
Hey! All right. We're going to talk about who all played and sang on this. Brian Adams, lead vocals. For all things Brian, go to season 3, episode 2. We discuss Everything I Do It For You.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's all you need. You can go back and listen to all that. Rod Stewart, lead vocals as well. For all things Rod, go to season 4, episode 7. We discuss Forever Young.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Oh, what a song.
Sting, lead vocals and bass. For all things Sting, standby. We got some more Sting coming. But in season 2, episode 5, we discuss 10 Sumner's Tales, which I just pause here. 10 Sumner's Tales came out in 93, right before this.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so this
wow.
Is, and then I'm wearing the Mercury Falling album. That was the next thing that came out by Sting. So it goes, 10 Sumner's Tales, this, Mercury Falling.
Yes, which is going back to that vocal thing, one second. What I wrote in my notes is, why does that note sound like it was hard for Sting? He was at the height of his powers right here.
10 Sumner's Tales is arguably the biggest Sting. I mean, it's in the content. It's in the conversation.
Yeah. He was bulletproof.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good.
He's one of those, sorry, I'm going to say this really quickly. I realized this about him this week. Singers, how do I say this and be careful? I think one of the things that's always hard for me as a listener and as a singer is when I see singers aging.
Sure.
Which is going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's human life. But it's just, you always grieve it. Like you go to see somebody, I'm not going to say a name, but one of my favorite artists I went to go see 5 years ago. And it was the first time I'd seen him sing. And I thought, I can't do this anymore. Like, it's going to ruin how and he's still a great singer, but it was just like,
not the same. Yeah, you asked me about somebody that we've seen, and you've been like, how was it?
Yeah, so Sting, to me, he's not that.
No.
Sting's
voice. Me and Rob saw him a few years ago, and he was fantastic.
Because he's not that kind of singer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like what I was saying a minute ago. Like, he's not going for vibrato and sticking notes. He's a vibe when he sings, you know? So he's one of those kind of, to me, I'm going to be interested to see how he ages, but so far it's like he's still, I mean, his new album, I was listening to him, like, I mean, you sound just as good. There's good. And this is when he should be, this is that age where you start to see him.
That's good. Totally. Well said. On guitar, Dominic Miller, Sting's longtime guitarist, wrote Shape of My Heart. Freaking love that song, Shape of My Heart. Did stuff with Phil Collins, Pretenders, Paul Young. His son, Rufus, now plays guitar alongside him at Sting shows.
Oh, my God.
Which I think is great. You got father-son on that.
I love that.
Plays a Strat on this and does the rhythm parts. So Dominic's playing a Strat here. On lead guitar, Keith Scott, that's Brian Adams' longtime guitarist, plays the solo, the bends. Oh, let's listen to that here in a minute.
Yeah.
He's playing a Gretsch, Keith Scott Nashville gold top signature. It's perfect.
Gold what now?
Gold top signature.
Yeah, don't want to Google the other. Do not Google the other.
That's right. Effects. Get this. Effects on this. Just Boss pedals and an Ibanez Tomb Screamer.
No kidding.
Solo. It's like, come on. Boss pedals and a Tomb Screamer. Like, that's amazing. Everybody has that. Like your garage band.
Half the guitar players in Nashville just shed a tear right now, and they don't know why.
Yeah.
They're like, there's so much not transparency in that pedal board.
That's right. That's good. That's awesome. Well said.
Can we hit that solo? Can I play
the
solo?
And while you're doing that, let me tell you one more thing. He's not in the video. And I was like, why don't they show the guitar solo in the video? It's all these cutaways of Rod and Brian and Sting. They're all smiling and all this stuff. And that's because Keith isn't in the video. And Brian Adams said he's the most underrated guitar player ever.
Yeah.
So
I believe
that's his guitar player.
That's his guitar player. It's his guy. Play a little of the solo here.
But he wasn't with him when you saw him. It was just piano.
It was just him and a piano player, and it was perfection.
All right. Here's the solo. Got to hear the note again. Leads right into it.
DD3. There we go.
Dang it. Goodness come gracious, on. Guys.
Yes, can a snare sound better than that?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely not.
Well, I had him later, but since you talked about him, we'll jump on down. Mickey Curry on drums. He's also Brian Adams' drummer.
Oh, okay.
I mean, his first three projects that he ever played on were Brian Adams' first three projects. Brian Adams' first project, You Want It, You Got It. It's kind of a weak album, but from there, it's Cuts Like a Knife and Reckless.
Wow.
I mean, for that to be albums two
Canadian
and three
guy?
Of your career, I don't know. Mickey Curry.
Okay.
I don't know. Curry. Can you say sounds Canadian? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know.
But he's on drums, on piano, stuff with Robert Palmer, Bonnie Raitt, Jackson Browne, a guy named Bill Payne. He's on the Pretender album, but not the hit. He doesn't play on the Pretender.
Okay.
On the Out of Order album with Rod Stewart, which has Forever Young, but he doesn't play Forever Young. So he plays all the non-hits on huge albums. So I don't know what that means.
Legacy.
But That's that guy. On keyboards, mainly a composer, Ed Schirmer, hundreds of movies, of most of which I haven't watched because they were younger. The themes were a little edgier. Species 2, Cruel Intentions, Cement Garden, whatever. But anyway.
Any movie that has garden in the title, you got to
avoid. So I haven't seen any of those, but he's apparently pretty big in that scene. So that's the band. That's a pretty big pretty big crew there, guys.
And then Michael Kamen on string arrangements and all that.
I didn't talk on him because I know Dave's the Michael Kamen guy. Yeah. So you probably
one of the things I like about him. I don't have like all the deep facts about him, but one of the things I do like about him, to your point, is he was really an arranger. Like he was really a string guy, but just on the side. As a little side hustle, wrote a couple of tunes.
You might have heard of.
You might have heard of. All for Love, which obviously we're talking about. Everything I do for you. It's Probably Me by Sting.
Sting's
on. And When You Love Someone, which may be my favorite Brian Adams song.
That's a good one.
But I mean, that's a pretty... I write some songs.
Yeah.
Have I heard of any of them?
I dabble in it.
There's probably two of them that are the most, you know.
And I think, did he also write... Have you ever really loved a woman?
Yes,
he also wrote that,
which is a great song.
That might be my favorite Brian Adams.
I will add that to my top two.
Brian Adams' like soundtrack run,
dude.
Was untouchable.
Yeah.
Wow,
Robin Hood.
It's like you've got
three Mosquitoes,
Jennifer Warnes, and Brian Adams. You know what I mean?
The thing that I think is really interesting, if you think about the songs he's written, is like the plumb line to me is that they have a musicality about them that feels very thematic or like big
cinematic.
That's what I'm trying to say. So I think it's cool when you find those things where you're like, I could see that he wrote those songs because they all have some sense of like they move and they get bigger. True. And that solo at that moment is just massive.
Yeah.
You know, you can see that. So it's fun to sort of realize that. And it makes me wonder if he was like a ringer. You know, like for these guys on those kind of songs, like, you know what, man, we should bring him in because he's really good at making stuff feel. Yeah.
They're like in Elf. They're like, let's get Miles Finch. Yeah. They're like, let's get Michael Kamen.
Yeah,
he comes in with his little book.
Yes.
And he's
literally
on.
Literally,
Miles Finch. I love it.
Because those are those guys, too, in writing sessions that are fun because they'll hear what you're doing and they'll go, let me sit down for a second at the piano. And they harmonize something and go, what if we move, like that move, that gong, gong, you know, those moments, you just have to think that's him.
Yes.
Because another thing I wrote about this is fascinating is how it sort of sits on the four for a long time, but it fools you because it does that walk up and then it goes back to the four.
Yeah.
So it's a funny way that either they went, we don't know how to get out of this because we end and begin on it. Uh-huh. We end the verse with it and begin the chorus on it. And he was like,
let me show you.
Takes a drag. He's like, awesome. You got came in here. You guys take a lunch break.
That's great. You know? That's awesome.
But there's some one of the things I've also loved about this song is it has little musical moments that are really interesting because I can't, as a songwriter, I can't help but thinking they were trying to work themselves out of some jams. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Get stuck and then
like, how can we make that work? And it's like, oh, this is how we make it work. Yeah. We walk up and then come right back to it, you know?
Yeah. And that, how disappointing could it have been when they were like, okay, so they're like, Cayman's like, take a break, right? I got this. Come back in 15 minutes. I'll have your segue to the chorus, right? And they're thinking, dude, it's about to be like, zing, 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 zing. And he goes, I got it. You ready? 1, 2, 3. And he's like,
and we're back at the four. So I walked up to it from the,
that's good.
It's like that movie, what's that Tim Robbins movie, The Hudsucker Proxy? Have you seen it where he invents the hula hoop, but he just keeps showing people a picture of a circle? And he goes, he just holds it up to me and goes, you know, for kids.
And like, go, what? That's great. That's awesome. I love that.
They're like, yeah, you're just establishing the key. What are you, you know?
No, he's like, no, like, listen. And he's like,
voila.
They're still sipping on their Cokes, like, okay. Maybe in context it helps.
Yeah. Let's see. Here's one thing I've really, really always loved about this. The way that the bass drives in the last half of the second chorus.
Okay.
So it's legato, boom, boom, right? It's all that. And through the first boom, chorus, boom, 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 right? And then when they hit that, when there's someone, that dun, second dun, chorus, dun. It starts driving starts eighth notes.
Yeah. You know the drummer turned to him during that time and was like, yeah. They're looking through the window.
Like the guy, who's the guy on like TikTok and Instagram reels? Help me out. That does the like, this is the Law and Order band in the studio.
When they
realize how dope something is. And they're all like, ah.
Yeah, you know he turned. He's like, yes.
I feel you,
man. He just looked under his sunglasses and winked at him.
That's great.
You know, here's another funny musical moment to me was, I love the guitar lick at the top. What an iconic, those little Jimmy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Jimi Hendrix bubble. No, but the thing that makes me laugh the hardest, and here's my last contribution. Go to like, let's say 4:15.
Okay.
And there is a keyboard that sticks out of nowhere at 4:22, and it may be my new favorite thing in the song.
Oh, yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know. It's in my notes. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay, just play this. This is the Sting, the instrument equivalent of the Sting thing.
Only 3-part harmony in the song.
Right there. All for one.
There we are. Michael W. Smith, everyone. I just thought.
That's Ed Shermer getting his bar.
Ed Shermer
there.
Was like, oh, they're going to know I'm here. Yeah. They will know I'm here.
But it's beautiful. It's so we're on a G minor chord there, right? Okay, so it's minutes, 2 minor, E minor.
That's a classic Brian Adams move to go 4 minor towards the end.
Yeah, 4 minor. So. And then that is like a B flat chord over that G minor.
Okay.
So it really, it's spelled the same, but the voicing of it makes it sound like something that kind of sticks out a little bit. You know, it's like, gives it like an augmented kind of feel. Oh, I love it. It melts
beautiful.
My heart, dude.
It's beautiful.
I had to sit down and figure out what that was because it sounds more complicated than it really is.
Yeah.
But it's really just a B flat chord over that G.
That's just one of those moments. Like, I just envision the studio and he's got his eyes closed and he thinks everybody's going to hit it. You know, and he's like,
oh, yeah. Did we decide? I forgot.
And everybody's just looking at him and he's like, and then they get and they're looking at Mutt and he's like, guys. And the guy's like, I'm fired. And he's like, that was one of the coolest parts of any song I've ever done. It's like, oh yeah, no, totally. Yeah, I meant to do that all by myself.
Like everything Michael did with the 1, 2, 3, you just elevated it. All right. I got to stump the genius again for you guys.
Okay.
Let's do a quick one.
Stump the genius. Stump the genius. Stump the genius. It's time to stump the genius.
Jump up and take your part. I take your part. All right. We're going to play Stump the Genius. Name these three vocalists. You don't have to name all three. It's a vocal group that are there's. This is three vocalists on a song.
Okay. Okay.
So y'all know who these are. I'm feeling pretty confident on this. I know you're going to get number one out the gate. Okay. Trios. Here we go. Trios. We got.
I'm going to blow somebody really obvious.
Yeah, let's keep that and loop that if you don't mind. If that could be my ringtone.
Dave's going to get this one out the gate.
Oh, this is easy.
I feel like
help us there, Mr. Barnes.
It's
Oh, yeah. Okay, I got you. Yes. Should we say it together? One,
two. From Bridesmaids.
Dave's thinking. Was this on Bridesmaids? I understand. Uh-huh. We got to do this song.
Do you know what I can't think of them because I can think of? Phillips, Craig, and Dean.
Oh, that's so funny.
My brain is trying to grab the name of this band, and it's so going, funny. Hey, say this. Yeah. I'm like, that's not it.
Phillips, Craig, and Dean.
It's Wilson Phillips.
Carney and Wendy Wilson and China. Brian Wilson's daughters. Okay, good job. One for one, guys. This one may take a little bit.
I know what this is because I blew it on
you missed it a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Help them out there, Rob, you know?
This is Peter, Paul, and Mary.
This is Peter, Paul, and Mary. Oh, yeah. Puff the Magic Dragon. Okay, good job.
Oh, there it is. That's how you know it.
And we're puffing. Okay.
Dragon.
Here we go. Went with this one.
Oh, my gosh. The Ouija's.
The Ouija's. Nailed it. This is actually the Bee Gees.
Okay.
There's that vibrato.
Wow.
The matching harmony vibrato.
That's insane. It's getting wider.
Boom. Barry, Robin, and Maurice, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. Like, how did they get paid for
chord? I got a couple of choices here. I'm going to try this one. This one, we're going to play it and see if we get it. Y'all know this one?
Oh, yeah. Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Good job.
Hello,
Dave,
bass.
To the party. We'll go with this one. This one's going to be a little tougher.
Oh,
you're
no.
You know the song, but you know the other two.
Oh, no, I don't. No, I not. Shoot, that's embarrassing, but I don't. Who are they?
Is it on the chorus that the other vocals come in?
No, actually, Stevie doesn't come in until the third part.
Yeah, who are these people?
This is Jim Gilstrap and Lanny Groves. They never actually sang together again.
Okay.
So that's Jim Gilstrap on the first part.
Was he just like a Motown BGV guy?
I don't know what he did. There's Lonnie Groves. I should know more about him. So Stevie doesn't come in for a while. He's just hanging out playing chords over there, loving life.
He's playing great chords.
Yeah.
Good night.
Yeah, technically, there's an additional backing vocalist, a girl named Gloria Barley, but that ruins the game if I tell you that.
So. right.
Anyway, there's Stevie.
God, that sounds good in your ears.
Sounds good. Here's a bonus one for you guys.
Come on.
So. Yeah.
I would argue top 10 pop bass lines of all time. That's in mine for sure.
Pretty good.
Nope.
Y'all know the, do you know the group?
Yeah, TLC.
TLC. Do you know the three members of TLC? Can you get them?
Sure, yes. That's T-Boss, Left Eye, Chili.
Boom.
Get in there. Get in there.
There you go. Guys, I'm with some geniuses today.
Wow.
Geniuses.
That's awesome. Well done, guys.
Unstumpable.
Ran the gamut on that.
Okay, I have a question.
Unstumpable.
Dave, this is specifically aimed at you.
Let's do this.
If you went into the studio to record your own version of All for Love, two-part question, which vocalist are you?
I was going to say, am I playing or am I singing the high part?
What they sing?
Which part are you taking? Which personality are you? Which lines are you taking? And who are the other two vocalists?
I think I got to do the sting, which is I dislike that he does the repeats. Uh-huh. You know, and it's loving. How beautiful, man.
Yeah.
How
beautiful. Yeah, that's good.
I like that. I can't do that. I don't know if I could do the high one every chorus. Though. Yeah. That's where I'm
going to go. Just got to hit it once and then just copy it.
There's a Bryan Adams live version on his like greatest hits, and he does it down. He goes, "We got it all in our hands." Like, and it's such a
lit. I'm like, he's the best vocalist like ever live, but that's because he's smart.
Yeah. But I tell you what's awesome about it, though. It's live from Wembley Stadium.
Shut up.
And when he hits the chorus, he doesn't sing.
He goes, gang vocals. Yeah, it just holds the mic out.
Boom. Oh, all of Wembley Stadium.
It's amazing.
That's great.
Dude, yeah, I need to
hear
that.
What an iconic moment.
Okay, so that's a great question for Davidicus Silo.
Who's your other duo accompanying you?
Okay.
A lot of pressure, and we don't have to air this part if we need to.
No. Okay. The trick here is I'm thinking of people, but I'm trying to actually stay. I'm trying to actually stay in the same vocal timbre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As me. And so I would say this is going to be. Oh, I like this already. So I'm just going to go for it. Me, Paul Carrick.
Okay. Oh, there we go.
Gosh. Oh, you know, this is all I can think of. And I can't sing as well as either one of those, but Foy Vance.
Oh, wow.
For just okay. Who would be the other one I'm not thinking of? Who would be that?
Should we guess his?
Who would be like the kind of husky white dude voice? Rick Astley.
That's it, dude. It's a hit now.
I'll be a man of...
He's going to lean into that Sting line like you don't even know.
Yeah. He would just try and sneak in like, when it's love you give, never going to give you up.
Did somebody say give? Don't say give around Rick. It triggers it.
Rector covers that now every time. And that's right. It's awesome. It's cool.
God, I'm going to have to actually think about that.
When you text us the third, and we'll drop it in later.
Okay. I feel really good about the first two, though.
Yeah, solid.
Me and old...
you and Paul.
Me and old PC.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. My other question on this is, how many hooks do you think they tried before they landed on All for One and All for Love?
Well,
do you think that was like first out the gate, or they were like, okay, listen.
Well, we know it's going to be for the Three Musketeers movie.
Three Musketeers.
But here's my take. It's I prefer the Ernest Goes to Camp, me for you and you for me.
Oh, wow.
Over. I'm just kidding. That's oh, listen to gosh. Our tweener episode on
me
Ernest Goes to Camp.
For you and you for me.
just doesn't quite land the same.
Oh, gosh.
That's it. Anyway.
When they were like, but you know when somebody said it out loud, they were like, shut it down. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we're that's not. It. No, Sting.
Yeah.
Or, no, Brian. That's it. We're done now.
You can stop thinking about it. Yeah.
I didn't know that was such a universal hit. I mean, I knew it was a hit, but I was totally ready for you to tell me it was like
it
number 10
charted,
in most countries.
Because
it was a soundtrack song.
Massive. Just massive. For a movie that did nothing.
Do you think Kiefer Sutherland sings it when he's walking around?
Oh,
do you
my
think
God. He's
I'll tell you exactly when I think he sings it, but we're a family-friendly podcast, so I'll probably won't. Okay.
You know, because that movie, well, to your point, the movie wasn't.
It wasn't as
ubiquitous
big.
As the song was. So in that song, to me...
He's the only one I remember from the movie.
And it had a great cast, dude. It's Kiefer Sutherland, Charlie Sheen, Tim Curry, Oliver Platt, and Chris Donaldson. Chris O'Donnell.
And I think I only remember Kiefer because he's right in the front.
And I forget who the lady was in it. Rebecca De Mornay, I think.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
It's like...
It. But I think it's got to be on the chart for... songs that were that big that aren't really in recurrent. Like, I just don't hear that song.
It's not on the radio much now.
But for it to have, I think that's why I always think of that song and I'm like, oh, that was just a song that should have been a hit that never was. Mm. But it's weird because, like, you think, I would imagine any song that had that much of a worldwide would be, you'd hear once a week on the radio.
And it's just, you don't hear it. I'm like, I get excited if I hear it. I'm like, man, I hadn't heard that song forever.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm so glad that's on right now.
That's true. It's a good point. Because it's like, it's almost like it was too good for us to be able to hold on to forever.
I will say this. I think if it has a problem, it's almost too on the nose of a soundtrack song.
Mm.
Like, it's a little too sincere. Yeah.
True. And it's just a regular song out of context.
Fits in a movie. You can't. No,
it's a little too like, all for love, one for, it's a little, I think if it wasn't that maybe, but... I could see how people are like, no, it was a hit. We let it run its run. But like, man, we can't go back there. Yeah. It's too.
Okay. There's one song that gives me the same thing that this song does. Okay. Now, if this song gives this to me at a 10.
Is it Love Never Lies from McGee and Me soundtrack?
Absolutely. Yes.
Just ask.
This song gives it to me at a 9.5.
Okay.
If All for Love is a 10.
This is a 9.5.
Whatever it is this song does to me. This song gives it to me at a 9.5.
Are we going to know it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Journey, right? When You Love a Woman. Dude, the guitar solo at the end. This song is an E-flat.
Beautiful melodic guitar solo. Big cinematic feel. You know what I mean? Incredible sound. Drum sounding.
I love this song.
In my mind.
Steve Perry with hair down to his knees.
From the Trial by Fire album.
Crystal Gale.
The song that, this was the album that when Perry came back.
Yep.
Came back and did this. Song's wonderful.
I mean, let's hit this.
You know my journey of love. That's a great comparison. It's great.
Right? Kind of gives me that same.
Yeah, it's good.
Is this still kind of Journey as we know them, like Steve Smith? Yeah. It's still the band.
Jonathan Cain's on
Neil
keyboard.
Neil Sean, Jonathan Cain.
Neil Sean.
And is it
Ross Valerie's Ross? On, he's Ross back Ball? On bass yeah, okay. on this. Mm-hmm. If I can't believe it's... Yeah, play the solo at the end.
Yeah, dude. I used to play this solo over, like, learn it, play it over and over and over. So it does this nice little like tasty thing, and then they play the string arrangement. That's your Michael Kamen type moment, right? I looked it up just in case, like it was the same production team or whatever. It's not. But you get this. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Steve Perry, man. Mm. And Neil Sean coming in hot.
Talk about bands.
Dude, yeah, come on. Yeah. This is so yeah. that's an and I feel like that actually probably gets more airplay than All for Love. I still hear that one occasionally
every now and then
on the radio.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, this has been a blast, as I knew it would. I was so excited to do this episode with y'all. Dave, thank you, as always, for hanging out. People listening, make sure you are subscribed right now to Dave's Five Hot Takes and to Dadville. Make sure you're streaming Dave's Christmas album, even though at this point it's whatever time of the year this is releasing, and I don't even know. It's not Christmas at all.
It's Christmas somewhere.
Paris and all the things.
The comedy stuff. Go back and listen to the comedy stuff.
Go stream Dave's
We're already laughing right now at the comedy stuff.
Thank you, as always, for being with us. This was amazing. So we will be back as season 9 continues to roll along on the Great Song Podcast next week with another great song. Until then, I'm Rob.
I am JP.
Go listen to some music.